coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got a call yesterday. An individual was in town, and they wanted to meet with me that I know well. And they are a high-level manager in the TSA. And I went and met with them, had a cup of coffee with them, and they said, you got to warn people. Tuesday, we got called in, the managers, and told that by the middle of September, that the new policy is being written, that this is done. They were told this is happening. This is not hypothetical. You will all have to wear masks again, and so will airport employees. Then by the middle of October, they are going to say that everyone flying has to wear a mask. And in the meetings, people began to ask them, well, I mean, why is this happening? They said, well, because of the new variant in Canada and because of the WHO, they may, you know, declare this. But regardless, we've been told this is going to happen. And then they were told, we expect by December a return to the full COVID protocol of 2020-2021. And I was given many more details. I wrote down notes on it. Then I left. Called the first federal connection that I was thinking of. Didn't answer. Called the second. Answered. Told them what I've been told. And they said, what day was that? I said, Tuesday. They said, yep, we were told yesterday. Yesterday was Thursday, so it was Wednesday. Expect COVID protocols to begin rolling out middle of September. And I said, what else were you told? Basically that they believe this new variant's super bad and that they're doing the testing and that they should just get ready for a whole new rollout of what happened before. And this was Border Patrol connected people I was talking to. And testing at the border again in the whole shooting match. That's two federal agents that told me this yesterday. And then I went and looked at the news, and there they were saying Canada's looking at new restrictions again because of the variant, and so is the EU. And what did the Russians just put out 3 days ago? U.S. is plotting another pandemic, Russian head of the defense ministry warns. Now, new lockdowns will starve the third world. New lockdowns will destroy small businesses. New lockdowns will take the average person that's already $5,000 in the hole and their paycheck is just on time. We'll put them into full bankruptcy. And the children in the mask and the attempt to push a new shot for the new variant. And we're right back in the same hellhole we were in just a few years ago. And why is it perfect timing? Because you go into the election year, they had the last crisis go over 2.5 years. They'll bare minimum run this through the next election. It's only 14, 15 months out with mail-in ballots again. And we have all the eyewitnesses and testimony that they'd get the mail-in ballots. And in some cases, they were 99% for Joe Biden. Who believes that? U.S. Postal Service whistleblowers, USPS. Poll watching witnesses. I have it all here. We'll play it next hour. We do not have to sit here and take the same criminal UN global WEF New World Order regime's second rollout of lockdowns and attempts at forced injections and travel restrictions and being told you're not essential. We don't have to lay down and die.
Wow. Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday, August 21st, 2023. I want to I wanted to, and I want to thank you, Eric the Tech, for starting with that cold open with Alex Jones, making the news across the world about this. And I've got something to say about this, something to add to what he said momentarily. Before I get into it, I just want to say welcome, Eric. I know it's been a busy, busy, busy weekend, busy morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
I could not do this without Eric the Tech. I'm going to tell you that right now. I could not do what I do without Eric the Tech. I have a lot of things to tell you, to give a lot of new information. The reason that that clip from Alex Jones was so important is because, now we have separate sources. I was in contact with an administrator within the Customs and Border Patrol, the CPB, this weekend. After hearing that, I reached out to a third party who connected me to his, maybe friend is overstating the relationship, but his acquaintance, his source. And there was a multi-person conversation that took place. The information that Alex Jones gave you is 100% confirmed through the Customs and Border Protection, Border Patrol, okay? Through the conversation I had, with one addition, actually two additions. The addition number one, it's not just about, it may not just be about a new variant. That's number one. The second thing is, this was stated in passing, or in, I shouldn't say in passing, within the conversation. They were told that the United States, because of the emergencies about to be declared, may, and I'm quoting now because I wrote this down, may not have normal elections in 2024. I pressed during this conversation to ask what that means. What do you mean, not normal elections? We, as far as I'm concerned, we haven't had normal elections in a while. I could get nothing further from this particular source. So two additions to what you heard. Number one, this might also involve the climate change. Specifically, during that conversation, I would add 1B. That being, climate emergency, and the cause or one of the reasons it was cited were the fires, multiple fires globally. Folks, if you pull up a map of the fires across the world that are taking place today, it's absolutely astounding. If you subtract the normal seasonal fires, because there's always fires during the summertime in the northern hemisphere, fires during the, in the southern hemisphere during the summer. Okay. Simple. It's very simple. But what you're seeing right now are deliberately set fires in very strategic choke point places, locations, high value real estate, high importance acreage, in order to push the WEF, UN, WHO, XYZ, whatever it might be, their agenda. I am telling you right now, if I had an alarm bell, I'd be clanging it right now. They are the globalists, the WEF, the P people in power, the Hillary Clintons, the Obamas. I'm talking about the real power. I'm not talking about some sniffing pedo Joe Biden or cackling Kamala. They're nothing but puppets, and not good ones either. We are entering into a very, an extreme, I cannot overstate how dangerous the next several days, weeks, months are going to be for all of us. I spent a lot of time this weekend attempting to get answers for each one of you. What about food supply? What about food shortages? What about the CBDC? What about the banks? What about the banking industry? What about buying houses? What if you're selling houses? Where do I put my money? Folks, I've been talking to everyone I can talk to. And I've got some people lined up as well. Oh, and what do we do about all of this? So I've got some people lined up. I'm actually in the process of lining them up as we speak, to assist all of us, you and I. Because look, I'm in the same boat as 99.9% of you folks are, okay? I've got nothing special. Eric the Tech can verify, but believe me, Eric the Tech, his family, my family, we're all just average citizens. We're not driving Cadillacs. We've got no jet. We've got no staff, we ain't got nothing. You know what I mean? We're hardworking people. But we're in the same boat as each one of you. I think that's a fair assessment, don't you, Eric? I mean,
yeah.
I don't mean to make you contort when you answer. We got to fix that so you can talk more. You and I have to talk more on there. But anyway. So that's that. I wanted to lead off with that. There's something going on behind the scenes there. By the way, there is absolute, I can guarantee you this, the globalists, if you will, the unelected scumbaggery, these punks that think they run the world, are pulling out all the stops because they're afraid. They know they've painted themselves in a corner by putting Biden in there. They did not believe that Biden was going to visibly implode, become more cognitively impaired than he is. I mean, they didn't think this was going to happen so quickly. They know Kamala Harris is not constitutionally eligible to assume that position. And you got McCarthy, who's no better, by the way, than Pelosi. Well, maybe just, I don't know, the tenth of an inch better, but not much, as Speaker. And you might think, well, that's a good thing. Well, both sides have stuff on McCarthy, and he can turn. And so McCarthy's a wild card to the globalists. You have to understand that. If you want to talk politics, downstream of culture, but politics, you know, does play into this to some extent. All right, so I'm going to get into a few things here. Oh, speaking of, hey, we may not have normal elections. People are starting to see what happened in the 2020 elections, and those people who don't or who have no clue. Let me offer a reminder. Now, folks, look, I know you know this, the normal listeners, but we are picking up new listeners. I want to thank you very much for subscribing to us on Rumble. I want to thank you for subscribing to us on Brighteon. I want to thank you for bookmarking HagmanPI.com. I want to thank you for sharing this with your social media, on your social media. Thank you. We are making a difference. And how I can tell that we're making a difference is the rise in the threats, the rise in the cancellations, the deplatforming, the debanking, all that comes with flying over the target. And we're ready for it, and we expect it. And I look at it as a victory. But let me take you back to 2020. This is a flashback about that suspicious water main break. Now, it's not just about that. That's the obvious. I want to point something out during this brief clip here. It's a minute 48 seconds long. I do want to point something out about this. So let's go ahead and play clip number 6. And by the way, folks, HagmanPI.com, in the episode section, click on the title to the episode. And in the program description guide, every link, every citation, every asset I use will be there. And this is clip number 6.
We've also got some breaking news right now, so we want to check in with CBS's Mark Strassman. He is in Georgia, where they're having a big problem counting some of the votes. Mark?
Nora, this is an election return watch party here on the edge of Atlanta. These are mostly excited Democrats, because when's the last time Georgia thought of itself as a battleground state?
Now, they're, of course, talking about this water main break. As if it's contemporaneous or just happened. And this is an evening broadcast. Okay. The water main break happened at 6:07 a.m. that day. That's number one that they're not telling you. Number two, it really wasn't a water main break. That's, again, number two. But what I wanted to point out before allowing this to continue, look at the Chiron there. I'm sorry. I think we might have passed it. The numbers for Biden and President Trump at the time, if we go back a little bit, can we go back just a little bit more? You'll see President Trump on there and Biden. There we go. Look at those numbers. President Trump was ahead 60% to 38%. You all see that, right? And you may say, well, you know, look how many precincts are reporting. They've got a good idea. Oh, that's it might be Kentucky as well. But nonetheless, you watch the Chirons, watch the numbers. They change significantly.
That's over 300,000 votes.
Okay, 300,000 votes. You can't make that up. They did, I guess, through some creative accounting. As we used to call that, when I worked for Fortune 100 companies, we're looking for, you know, million plus fraud, $1 million and more fraud. Well, geez, you know, yeah, that's a little bit of creative accounting. Okay. And when we caught the people red-handed, I'm going to tell you this: the modus operandi, or the method by which people will defend their actions or defend the numbers, which are absolutely insane. Whether you are a 2-bit common piece of crap criminal, or whether you're a criminal that's operating machines, or whether you're a machine company. And yes, I said it. The behavior is the same. The criminal behavior, it doesn't change among thieves, among fraudsters. It doesn't change. But I digress. Let's continue this flashback. This appeared on really all of the news stations, but here it is talking about Kentucky. Let's finish this out.
Atlanta. These are mostly excited Democrats, because when's the last time Georgia thought of itself as a battleground state? After a record early returns and essentially a day of problem-free voting, there is now a hitch in the tabulation of votes. I'm standing in Fulton County. Fulton County includes a chunk of Atlanta. Downtown Atlanta is State Farm Arena, where the Atlanta Hawks play. They are tabulating the absentee ballots of Fulton County, Georgia's most populous county. A water pipe has broken inside the arena. They had counted 86,000 absentee ballots. We don't know how many more they have yet to tabulate, but all the tabulation of those ballots has now stopped. We're told by election officials they may not finish tabulating those votes for a day or two. So depending how close the rest of the state is, we may not know the result of this critical battleground state for another day or two. That is because, again, a water pipe has broken in State Farm Arena. State Farm Arena is where they were counting the absentee ballots of Georgia's most populous county. And now that tabulation has stopped. Whoa. Big development here.
But, Mark, wow. Do you know how many ballots we're talking about? What that means?
We don't know. We've asked that question, Gail, and we haven't got an answer for that yet. We know that there were 86,000, but apparently it's a very labor-intensive process. And what they are telling us is that it's going to take a day or two, which suggests to me that they have a lot to go.
So that changed when five people, and to me, this is how few people can actually commit the fraud. Five people, including but not limited to Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay. Yes, those two. Remember the suitcases under the table. This is just one example. Now, why did I bring this flashback up now? Because we all know what happened. Because it happened in 2022. Maybe not in there or involving the same people or whatever, but the MO is the same. It's going to happen again if... Well, it can happen again. But the people... The perpetrators are looking at this and saying, hey, they're ready for this. Not only that, the candidate who ostensibly, and I say that, understand, he was never a viable candidate. Remember the parking lot with circles and six people versus Donald Trump? Look, he was never a viable candidate. He was never going to win. He campaigned from his basement. We all know that. So the fix was in right from the beginning. But now you've got more of a focus on a couple of other things. This will show you just a very brief clip. Y'all know this, right? Pedo Pete, you know this. You've seen this. This is one of many. They can't hide this anymore. They can't hide this action anymore. Now, if I would have been a father, if that would have been my son, my grandson, and I would have seen that happen, I would have given him an elbow right in the nose if that would have been me standing next to him. He would have walked out of there with a bloody nose. I would be in Secret Service custody, and that would be the last time you ever heard from me. To the delight of many, I know. Okay, that is not normal behavior. Now, having watched dementia patients, people with Alzheimer's, go downhill, I've not seen that every time. But, for example, if a person is hypersexual anyway, that condition exacerbates the hypersexuality, all right? So if you're already predisposed to being angry, dementia is going to exacerbate that anger. Sexuality, same thing. So you're seeing they're on display. But they cannot hide this any longer, and that has them afraid. Okay, that's number one. But number two, You've got, and this is page two in the program notes, you've got the recent revelation, although most of us have known this for some time, but I want to kind of push this forward. You understand, last week, the House Oversight Committee asked the National Archives for unredacted communications involving three pseudonyms involving or Joe Biden apparently used during his vice presidency. Three pseudonyms, that's right. Or actually, three aliases. as I would prefer to characterize them. He used Robert Peters, Robin Ware, and J.R.B. Ware. Yeah. No one says you've got to be really necessarily, smart about what you do. J.R.B. Ware. Okay. So Biden used these aliases when he was a vice president. Now, among the documents committee chairman James Comer is requesting from the National Archives, specifically, is an email sent to a Robert Peters, that is, in fact, Biden, with a subject line, Friday schedule card, that included an attachment that had details about a scheduled phone call between then-VP Biden and Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko. This is in May of 2016. The only person copied on the email was, of course, Hunter Biden. This should be the equivalent of the smoking gun, the bloody knife, the whatever, the garrote next to the body. This should be what would tank Biden and put him up, really, on peddling influence and also violations of FARA, and also make him ineligible any further because of the following charges of selling influence and also violations of banking laws and such. And the bottom line here is you've got a man that in the form of Joe Biden that the left cannot protect anymore. You follow me on this? Please read the article by John Daniel Davison. It's a few days old, but we've known this. We've known about the aliases. We've known about the fact that Biden and his son were both involved in the business dealings. It's just not only about the pedo Joe, the stroking of the children, the sniffing of the hair, the gobbling of the shoulder, you know, of children and such. Okay, that behavior that's embarrassing to the people who are pulling the strings. That's not that that's obvious. What's not gaining traction in terms of the cable news network is the name Robert Ware. Now, do I have any confidence that James Comer is going to actually do anything more than send a strongly worded letter to NARA saying, look, we want all this information? Do I think there's going to be any follow-up? I don't think so. But if there is, the left already this is going back to what we opened with, the left already has that plan in place to pull the plug or to somehow change the elections from a normal election cycle to an abnormal one. Again, whatever that means, I'm not going to presuppose I know what that means, all the ins and outs. But I do know this, pursuant to what Alex Jones said and the information which was confirmed to me, both or by the CPB or Customs and CBP administrative individual through a third party, with a third party, I should say, not through, but with, by way of introduction at that point, I can say that they've already received their instructions on mid to late September, rolling out some mask mandates, some of the same rules and administrative rules that we saw back at the beginning of this pandemic. These draconian type of administrative actions against the American people. And that's the key word here, against the American people, because the left will give the invaders a pass, of course. That's not going to enter into the picture. The left is going to, hey, go ahead. You want to come in? Come in. No worries. All right. Some other things, too. I want to touch on the massive fire in Maui. I want to touch on the massive fire in the Canary Islands. Oh, you don't know about that? And, of course, more in Canada. You have a ton in Africa. You've got a lot of fires that are taking place. Okay, so there's another war about to take place as well. I want to get into that. I also want to touch on what's on the front of Hagmann PI at this moment, HagmannPI.com. Hopefully, let me just check here. Let me just see. So 30 minutes from... So about now, I guess we can try Patriot, a Patriot doctor, Dr. James. But before we try that, I want to, Eric the Thick, I think, is laughing at me. I want to try to do this. I'm going to play clip number 8. This is Steve Bannon. About 3 minutes into this is when it really gets good. In the interest of time, we're going to play from the beginning. We're going to see if Dr. James is available, and then we'll cut to him at the appropriate moment. But let's play clip number 8. In doing that, because we have to do that, because we don't have a staff, a crew of 15 people behind the scenes working the phones and the other equipment. So let's play clip number 8. Nobody trusts the leaders anymore. We should pay attention to what happens here. This is Nick Sorter on the War Room reporting on Maui's current situation. But what happens to Nick Sorter should alarm everyone, because, well, you'll see. Watch until about 3 minutes in and keep watching, especially at that time, two to 3 minutes. You're going to see something that happens that I have heard is taking place elsewhere with other things, especially at the border. Watch this.
Nick Sorter. Nick joins us from Maui. Nick, the last time we caught up with you was in East Palestine, where your coverage there was amazing. You've had some blowaway images and also some observations of what's going on in Maui. Can you update our audience of your what you found out from your investigative reporting, sir?
Yeah, so Steve, the situation on the ground here reminds me a lot of the response that we saw from East Palestine, Ohio. Just total colossal failure of government. Everything that could go wrong with government absolutely went wrong. The leaders are incompetent. Nobody trusts the leaders anymore at this point. They can't actually get any answers that they believe, because the government keeps contradicting themselves. Especially the governor, Josh Green, and the mayor of Maui County. And I had a really tense run-in with the mayor yesterday. And I'll be posting that here shortly. It was a very fiery interaction. But everybody here is on edge. They want answers. They're not getting them. And one of the things I keep hearing the most from people are they want to know what happened to the children. How many children are missing? How many of them are dead? The numbers are being hidden.
Keep
because they have
mind.
There are 110 confirmed deaths. They have 110 cadavers. Okay. You know that they can figure out whether or not they were children or they were adults just based on the cadavers. So they're hiding that information. They don't want the public to know, because the public would be absolutely outraged if it turns out that, 50, 60, 100 kids are dead. So.
They just announced, Nick, I'm going to hold you through the break, and I appreciate you getting up, obviously, at the crack of dawn.
Now, keep your eyes on that.
The federal government, this is what I don't understand, brother. We had to force the federal government to step up and admit their mistakes and their lies in East Palestine, which they haven't totally taken responsibility for. But the federal government has announced under Biden, they're not even going to do an investigation in Hawaii. They want the local people to do it. As you've pointed out, the local people don't have the... First off, a lot of those are going to be caught up in this. But number two is that they just don't have the expertise to do this and the sophistication, because right now there are really no answers. And not only no answers, there's nobody even going and looking for what caused this and what's the back of it. And that's why they're saying all these conspiracy theories are running wild. Well, Nick just told you, they're suppressing the information. I think there's still 1,300 people missing. They're talking about maybe 500 casualties, but I think there's 1,000 to 1,300 people missing. This is the information we're getting out of Hawaii.
Folks, there
short
will
commercial
be
break.
Thousand.
We're going to be back in Warm in a moment. Nick Sorter, the investigative reporter, did such a great job in East Palestine, joins us from Maui. And I know you're editing this, Nick, and it's going to be up later in the day, and we'll drive people to your site because I want them to see it. Is this confrontation you had with the mayor in regards to the situation with the children?
Yes, it is. Yes. That was one of the questions that it's, like I said, it's been burning in a lot of people's minds here.
Watch.
Hey, what's up, Nick? I've been trying to reach you. I've been reaching out to you on X. You're supposed to be meeting with people here. What victims have you
met? Okay, yeah. So this is you're seeing this live right now. People actually tracked me down.
I thought you were staying in a tent. You said you were coming and staying in a tent, Nick. You're taking up resources.
I'm not taking up any resources here.
Yes, you are.
No, I want to stay with it.
I don't know how you live with yourself, man. You see the devastation. You see the people. I can see you tearing up because you know how much these people are suffering.
No, you're literally here. You just...
Now, what I know about this, I can't get you. Keep it going. I just really can't say at this point. Keep it going.
So, Nick, what is the issue?
This is real, dude. This is where I'm getting chased. This is what's going on. Now, see, this is what happened. I ended up getting doxxed by look. Yeah, so they...
You posted a picture of yourself.
I didn't post a picture of myself.
You posted a picture of your location, the palm trees, the water.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm floored right now.
That's okay. Are you safe?
I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. I don't know. So, I'm just gonna try to quickly get away. So I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say, to be honest. This is terrifying. This is terrifying. I don't even want to go near my vehicle. I don't want them to know what vehicle I'm driving either.
And Nick, what are the issues these guys have? The questions you're asking, is there another issue?
It has to do with the questions that I'm asking. I've gotten a lot of death threats over the past 48 hours or so, because you know I'm vocally reporting this. But I am. I'm asking tough questions. I'm not spreading conspiracy theories. That's not what I'm doing. But there are certain people that they're pretty much saying that I'm, you know, I'm grifting and whatever by coming out here, and I've done nothing but, you know, help people. I've got so many stories that I'm going to be telling, heartwarming stories. About people that are
Nick, when you release the tape though with the mayor, is this confrontation principally over your questions about what's the story with the children and what's the story with the casualty count?
Yes. Yes. That is where a lot
All
of
right,
the
we're gonna cut
from.
It right there. Folks, I urge you to watch that entire clip. Because when you start asking the questions is when you start getting the death threats. They, the people who deserve answers on Maui or East Palestine or other locations are the ones that are getting the death threats. They're the ones that are asking the questions on our behalf. So when we send people out, and thank you for allowing us to do that, this is what happens. You see that gentleman right there? That's not scripted. You could see it in his eyes. And believe me, he is not safe. What's our response going to be? I've got with me, God bless this man, one of the finest patriots this country has ever seen. I call him Dr. James Paine, a nod to Thomas Paine back in the revolutionary days. Dr. James, of course, is a medical doctor who wrote the featured article at HagmanPI.com. Now, he's not going to appear on camera, but I do have his voice with me. Dr. James, thank you for taking time out on your busy schedule. There's probably a patient lying on a gurney somewhere saying, hey, where's my doc? But you're here with me, and I appreciate that. How are you, sir? Do we have him? Okay. Maybe he had...
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your...
All right. We'll get them. But folks, if you go to HagmanPI.com, and I'll do this while Eric the Tech is working hard. You know, look, this is just one of those things that we do, right? It just, bear with us, okay? We are simply trying to get the truth out there. And believe me, the truth comes with a price, because when hard questions are asked, I'm going to tell you right now, there's blowback. But the article that I'm referencing is the article titled Of a Patriot's Wrath. This is written by Dr. James. I'm going to read it for our radio listeners right now. In the realm of fiery passion, I'll spin a tale. Of a patriot's wrath, a tempest set to assail. When you dare not leave him in solitude's embrace, prepare yourself, for his anger knows no grace. Oh, this is good. His heart beats to the rhythm of his nation's pride. A flame burns within him, impossible to hide. But when his solitude is disturbed, oh, beware, for his rage engulfs all, leaving none to spare. Like a storm brewing on the horizon's edge, his fury consumes, leaving nothing to pledge. His voice, a thunderous roar, echoes through the land, demanding respect with an ironclad command. He fights for justice, for freedom's sacred call, but when provoked, he becomes a force that can maul. His words are sharp arrows, piercing the air, unyielding and fierce, he won't back down or spare. Yet beneath his anger lies a wounded heart, aching with love for the nation torn apart. For his wrath is born from a deep-seated care, a longing for unity, a vision to repair. So when you encounter this patriot's might, remember his cause, his unwavering fight. For in his anger lies a passion so true, a love for his homeland, a fire that will ensue. But tread with caution, lest his fury be unleashed. Respect his solitude, let his spirit find peace. For a patriot's wrath, when left to fester and grow, can smother the embers of the love we should know. Amen and amen, Dr. James, a famous now, but a true patriot. Dr. James, are you back with us?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I am fabulous. After reading that, I'm inspired and understand the gravity of what we face. And I want to thank you so much. I mean, thank you from the bottom of my heart for writing that. That's a fabulous, fabulous assessment of where we're at.
That I didn't set out to write something like this. I just had to do something to you know, because of my frustrations and to put my energy that was kind of building, and I wanted to do something that wouldn't get me into trouble. And so I started writing that, and I probably spent over 2 or 3 nights working on that, and that's what I came up with.
Well, certainly that's inspired by, in my view, by the Holy Spirit, by God above. And that's really illustrative, I believe, of many, many patriots out there. My friend, you've captured the sentiment in such a way that I predict this will be copied and pasted everywhere and put on the walls of many patriots' homes. And I want to thank you again. I can't believe, well, I can believe what a talent you are in many ways. And I just so appreciate you for what you do.
This show really inspired me to write that. And you know, I was sitting there trying to imagine what it was like during the Revolutionary War and how the patriots felt during that time. And so there's, you know, a little hint of that in the story there that I portrayed. And I think we're facing the similar, if not worse, circumstances now. And we're in dire circumstances, and I wanted to express that, but then I also wanted a little bit of hope and maybe, you know, solution toward what we're facing.
Well, I think mission accomplished. You know, there's the warning, there's the hope, and there's the emotion. When I read that, I mean, I actually got goosebumps, and not too much draws me to that point, okay? But that did. And man, how great is that? I don't want to take your time because I know you're busy with patients. I want to ask you, we opened with the imminent threat the threat of imminent lockdowns. By imminent, we're talking 30, 45 days from now. What are you seeing on the ground? This new strain, this Eris strain coming out, what are you seeing?
Well, that's a huge question because there's so many aspects that, and we're limited on time, but the first thing that I'm beginning to see in the urgent care setting that I work at, is the cases are increasing. People are beginning to feel sick again, and they're coming in, and most of them don't even want a COVID test because they've been vaccinated and they're going to be protected. Their words, not mine. And we end up testing them, and they're shocked to find out that they have COVID again because they've been vaccinated. And I use that as an opportunity to explain to them how this vaccine doesn't work and might even be harming them. I think the cases are a lot higher probably now because we're only seeing the ones that feel sick, which I think are the vaccinated, because of their immune system is kind of beginning to shut down. On the other side of that, the nursing home setting that I work at, I'm trying to get a hold of a document. I may be back on, or I'll at least get this to you. They are Centers for Medicaid Services, whatever the heck they're called, CMMS, is sending out guidelines again for nursing homes to prepare them to start locking down. I just found that out today. To start to shut people out coming in from the nursing homes again and wear masks and, you know, to start documenting whether or not everybody's been vaccinated again. So we're about to see those restrictions come into play again.
Man.
Yeah. You know, they're ramping up for something. And I people are telling me they're not, even the people that work in these nursing homes are telling me they don't want to mask up. They don't want to do this again. But if they're forced to and under threat of losing their jobs, I think we're in trouble.
Okay. Do you see the threat? Is there a real threat with this new strain, in air quotes, Or is this manufactured fear?
I don't think it's a real threat. This latest version is kind of like a mild cold for these people, but that could change. And I don't know what variant we're seeing yet, because we don't test for the variants. We just have a test that says yes or no. It's like, are you pregnant or not? You don't know the details of it. It just lets you know that you've got a virus that's related to the COVID, if it doesn't necessarily have to be the exact strain. So I don't think it's going to be, at least at this point in time, I don't think it's a huge threat, at least not to justify the lockdowns again.
Okay. All right. And you were telling me about, now other places have similar, I'm going to call them machines, that give you a yes or no on the flu or the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2. And you're seeing an increase. If you can, just briefly address that.
Well, yeah. So a lot of the machines that we're using are, I don't have the name of the company in front of me. I can get that. But they are actually providing these machines free of charge to a lot of clinics and hospitals around the country. We have to buy the tests from them, but the machines themselves are free. In order for those machines to work, you have to connect them to the internet, to your Wi-Fi, so they can get their updates and verify that you're an authorized user and all that stuff. And I've seen them update themselves so they can get updates remotely through the Wi-Fi system. And as we were discussing, I just wonder if they're changing the parameters a little bit to, you know, and see, interestingly, they do test for flu and COVID. So I'm just wondering if they can manipulate this machine to have the outcome that they prefer, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you were saying that they're also connected to the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I said, they won't work unless they have a Wi-Fi. Unless you connect them to your local Wi-Fi, they will not work. They have to authorize. They have to make sure you're an authorized user and check your account and all this other stuff. And they do updates almost on a daily basis.
Okay.
So that's a little concerning. They won't work if you're not connected to the internet.
Amazing. Well, I'll just say this. Again, I know you're busy. I just was so thrilled that this platform, you selected our platform to host that fabulous article you wrote, really, of a patriot's wrath. And I know many, many, many people can relate to exactly what I read. Folks, go to Hagmann PI. And although we don't have contact information, public contact information for Dr. James, I am absolutely 100% sure that will resonate with many. Keep your eyes open, watch your back, and God bless you. In closing, any closing thoughts? I don't want to keep you. Any closing thoughts?
No, I'll try to come back on a little bit more, and maybe someday I'll let people know who I am. But at this point in time, I can't do that. But just stay salty, keep your head on a swivel, and be prepared for what's coming.
All right. You know, I love you, brother, and I appreciate all you do. I'm going to let you go. Take care of your patients. I was joking with Eric, some guy in the next room, probably like all twisted up from waiting for you. So I don't want to take you away from that. God bless you, friend.
All right. You too.
All right. Folks, that was Dr. James. And seriously, Dr. James, who I nicknamed Dr. James Payne in honor of Thomas Paine, the Revolutionary War clanger, shall I say. All right. Kind of in the same fashion. Again, lockdowns are coming. Elections, we're not going to have normal elections. This is all about a power grab. But let's hear from Dr. Naomi Wolf explaining this new variant being pushed and what that means for us. Here's Dr. Naomi Wolf, clip one.
Welcome back to The War Room. Got a little bit of breaking news, as you guys well know, as Steve's been saying on the show for a long time, President Trump will not be participating in the Fox Keebler Elf debate, I have to say, of all of Steve's comments and phrases that has to be my favorite one, but instead he'll be doing, I think, a long interview with none other than Tucker Carlson. Make sure to follow that story. You guys can go check it out. It's going viral. But in the meantime, speaking of other things going viral, or at least I think our elites want COVID-19 to go viral. Again, Dr. Wolf, before we get into what Bill Gates is trying to do with your kids in the classroom, how's that for a tease? Just real quick, your thoughts on the mainstream media, the sort of COVID class of people starting to push the pandemic narrative again.
So sad, so predictable, and all I can hope is that most people will not fall for it and will see through it. Basically, what we've got is a product in search of a story that will bring it a market, a thoroughly debunked product. So, Natalie, let's look at the timing. I reported here about a week ago that both Pfizer and Moderna are looking at, Pfizer looked at an 89% drop in their manufacturing demand for their COVID-19, their last round of shots and boosters, and Moderna was down, I think, 54%. So they're tanking in value. Well, and they were looking at no more demand because people have gotten the message that these injections don't work to stop COVID, as we broke that story from the Pfizer documents, that they don't stop transmission, which are also in the Pfizer documents and which has been confessed to the European Parliament. And lastly, that they have horrific side effects. And people are seeing the side effects in their loved ones, if not only also in themselves. So what is a big company that exists to deceive people to buy a useless product going to do? Whip up another scare campaign, whip up non-existent threats or very difficult to quantify threats. This is their modus operandi. And lastly, roll out this new improved product that this new improved variant, Eris, demands. So let me just point out some wacky things about this timeline that should make everyone very, very skeptical. First, as an aside, as a student of language, I couldn't help noticing that Eris is the Greek goddess of discord and conflict. And, you know, as a student of patterns, you mentioned pattern recognition earlier, scientists don't usually name variants of infectious diseases after classical antiquity figures. I don't know what to make of it. It just seems like very storytelling-ish and not so scientific. But moving along, what's creepy about this sudden everywhere narrative that there's a new variant in town? It's not your last variant. You need a whole new thing to deal with the new variant. And if you read these news articles carefully, and they all read like they were generated by AI, but if you read them carefully, there was one we just tore apart in our local Salem, Massachusetts newspaper that basically admitted there really isn't a spike and didn't come up with any real numbers. They said something like there are 2 new cases per 100,000, and they referenced a community that has only 22,000 inhabitants in it. So they're imaginary numbers. And again, you can't check them. It's the same problem I highlighted in The Bodies of Others, Natalie, that you can't see the data sets. You're not allowed to see the data sets. You can't verify this claim that there's an uptick. What is an uptick, right? How do you define an uptick? You know, the uptick is the theme music before what comes later, which is the surge. How do you define a surge? You can't check any of these claims that there's a new variant in town that's different from the old variant. You just have to take their word for it. But what is very notable is that in June, an FDA panel, I just want to remind you, and this is via the brilliant and amazing Amy Kelly, in June, an FDA panel unanimously voted to recommend that the next round of vaccination in the U.S. be approved. So these vaccinations aren't approved yet, but the committee that recommends vaccines to the FDA for approval has already recommended them, and they're expected to be approved by the FDA and available just in time by next month. So you've got 1 month, if you're marketing this new product, to whip up fears that will then drive people to take this new untested, untried product into their bodies. And again, as someone who's looked at the, you know, for over a year now at the devastation and bad math and cheating in the Pfizer documents and the harms caused and the the lack of trials that proved that these were harmless, let alone effective. We don't have those trials for this new injection. And this is not just Moderna and Pfizer, who are now thoroughly discredited, but also Novavax. So I hope everyone listening is really skeptical, does their due diligence, thinks about the fact that we haven't seen any real double-blind trials, scientific trials, showing that this new formulation, and remember, we've done a lot of reporting on the problems with formulations, the fact that Pfizer's formulations are in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. Do you want them formulating what's in the Eris variant booster? You know, all of the work that Brooke Jackson has done, the whistleblower about contaminants and